السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتم الأنبياء محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Obviously our community is saddened and shocked by this tragic murder of three bright, energetic Muslims who have been serving, already have been serving their community. And they had a very promising future ahead of them. Marhum Diya Barakat, who is related to our close friend here in Orange County, my dear brother Yasser Barakat. I spoke with him yesterday morning, giving condolences to him, and he was on his way to North Carolina. I know this family, the family of Barakat. I know Yasser very well. He has been to this mosque many times. And Diya is his relative. And also, the two angelic sisters, Yusr and Razan Abu Salha, the two daughters of a dedicated man, Dr. Muhammad Abu Salha. Undoubtedly, they are martyrs, shuhada. The hadith says, the one who takes a step into the direction of receiving ilm and knowledge to change the society, to make the world a better place. And he dies in this path, in this way. He's shaheed. He's considered shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward him or her the ajr of being a martyr. And this is a lesson to all of us. I have prepared my second sermon tomorrow. I will dedicate it to this tragedy, the Friday sermon, as hundreds of mosques and Islamic centers around the nation. But today or tonight, I would say that this tragedy serves as a wake-up call for us, for the Muslims and non-Muslims. First of all, that the life we live is a life of sacrifice, is the life of giving. Sometimes you give your money, sometimes you give your time, sometimes you give your knowledge and wisdom, and sometimes you have to give your blood. The life is about giving and producing and struggling. The Quran uses the term kadh. Kadh is to struggle. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Indeed, you are laboring towards your Lord. So you have to give, you have to produce. And the blood of those three would not go in vain. By the way, also today we received the news of the martyrdom, the istishhad of Yunus Haider al-Khidr, the cousin of our brother Ammar al-Khidr in Syria, by the radicals, by the terrorists. A young man who was killed when they were shelling his city. As it happens in many places, it happens every day in Syria, it happens in Iraq, it happens in Egypt, it happens in Bahrain. This journey has to continue, the journey of giving, the journey of sacrifice. America was built, America progressed, America evolved because of martyrdom, because some people believed in the concept of martyrdom, that they have to give their life for the sake of others. We have to realize that there is a culture of hate that persists in America and outside America. And this culture of hate sometimes is practiced by non-Muslims, and sometimes it is practiced by some misguided Muslims too. In the case of Dhiya Barakat and the two sisters in North Carolina, that culture was practiced by a non-Muslim. In the case of the cousin of Ammar in Syria, it was practiced by a Muslim who confessed the Shahadatain. The culture of hate persists, and this is a very dangerous disease. It makes, when this culture persists and dominates societies, it makes the country, the city, looks very ugly. Countries and human societies, they become beautiful or ugly, not just because of the terrain, neither just because of the weather, but because of the human actions and the human behavior and the human manners. We can make the land, the earth, the community, we can make it a beautiful when we cooperate, when we help each other, when we forgive, when we sacrifice. The country becomes stronger, healthier, progressive, safer. And if people choose otherwise, they choose to suspect about each other. They choose to replace compassion with hate. They choose to replace tolerance with intolerance. They choose to replace togetherness and harmony and universality with racism, with prejudice, with bigotry. Then definitely that land or that country becomes ugly. What this man did the day before yesterday in North Carolina, the murderer, he made, in the eyes of some people, he made America looks ugly. Where is justice? People are asking, where is justice? Is this how America works? Innocent people in their 20s who are preparing themselves to serve the humanity. And they've been serving, working with charities, with homeless people, with refugees, planning to travel thousands of miles to relieve the suffering of some children, some women, some poor who have been driven out of their land. So they've been helping and serving. And someone comes and he claims that it was a dispute over a parking space. Is this logical? A dispute over parking space, if this is true, it would warrant that you would go and take the life of 3 innocent people? The job of religions, all religions, are to bring people together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, Ya Musa, we sent you for wasl, not fasl. I want you to connect people with each other. Your job? Why do you preach? Why do you teach? For one goal, for one reason, is to bring the hearts together. This is your job. Spiritual leader, religious leader, civic leader, social leader, an educator, is someone who is able to bring the hearts together. If he divides them, it means he's failing in his mission. Anbiya and the prophets and apostles and messengers, they came for this reason, to make the connection, for wasl, to spread love, to teach people something called forgiveness and understanding that you are not alone. Don't just think of yourself. If you want to be happy, think of others who are with you in the same house, in the same neighborhood, in the same city. You have to feel for their feelings. If they are sad, you can't be happy. This is what our imams teach us. Our imams, they teach us that we become happy for the happiness of the greater society. And when something wrong happens somewhere else, thousands of miles away, we become sad. That night becomes so dark in our eyes and our hearts. This is a humanity. This is the essence of a humanity. Togetherness. I will say tomorrow, inshallah, in my sermon, that what can we do to protect the Muslims? For the last 2 days, I heard many parents asking their kids, their Muslim kids, especially their daughters who observe hijab, not to leave their homes. Is this a solution? Logical solution? Not to leave your house? Not to go to school? Until when? That's not a logical solution. The logical solution, I'm going to mention some tonight and leave the rest for tomorrow, is civic engagement. Civic engagement. What happened, my brothers and sisters, one of the reasons, one of the main reasons of this tragedy, of this barbaric behavior against these 3 souls, is ignorance. Ignorance on the part of the perpetrator. And he has been influenced by whom? How people get influenced? Have you thought about it? They go to church sometimes and the pastor influences them. They watch TV and sometimes the media, the anchor, the news influence them. Sometimes they go to the movie theater. One single movie can influence the opinion of millions of people. Some people were saying that maybe this man had just watched the American Sniper movie. Who knows? I don't know. How do we counter that? You counter a bad movie with a good movie. This is the way in America. This is how things work in America. You counter a bad speech, a hate speech, with a love speech, with a speech of understanding. You reach out to people. You counter a bad book, a bad article, a bad article in the newspaper with a good article. Civic engagement. Let me tell you something. We the Muslims, we have been absent from this. We did not do enough. In particular, our community. In particular, our community. We did not do enough to dispel these misconceptions. And we can produce, we can work. If you encourage your children, tell them, I want you to be a filmmaker, a journalist, an activist. You can be a lawyer at the same time you be an activist. You can be a physician, a basketball player, but at the same time, you can be an activist. You have a role. How to protect yourself here? How to change all these misconceptions? We have a role. We have to tell people about us and our religion. Randy was telling me, Yasser Barakat, our friend here in Orange County, who is relative of this victim, Ria Barakat, he was telling me that I would not rest until I compel the legislators, the lawmakers in Washington, to produce a law to protect the Muslim Americans against hate crime, as they did with other communities. Today with other communities, you can't say anything negative about them. That did not happen from the first day. They were victims too. It took several decades. Other communities also were victims. But they worked hard. We should work hard. Allah says, وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا. This is your arena. I'll support you. I'll guide you. But you have to work. You have to feel the sense of responsibility. What is our reaction to this tragedy? Just to say, La ilaha illallah. And we go home. La ilaha illallah is necessary. But La ilaha illallah says, Mustafa, after that, if you say La ilaha illallah, if you believe in La ilaha illallah, you have to work to protect yourself. What is your role? What did you do? We have a role. And I will continue on this, inshallah, tomorrow in the second sermon. And also I believe that for the soul of those victims, we will do some Quranic, inshallah, tafsir and interpretation, so we seek guidance and inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Surah Yunus, ayah number 3. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش ثم استوى على العرش يدبر الأمر ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This Ayah number 3 in Surah Yunus chapter 10 is considered one of the most important and sublime verses of the Holy Quran, comparable with Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne in Surah Al-Baqarah. And I would tell you why it is comparable with that verse, which is in verse Ayah 2, Surah 2, Ayah 255, Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Because in this verse, Allah speaks about the throne. In that verse, Allah speaks about kursi, the seat. And there is a difference between them. We will come to that difference. If not tonight, next week, inshallah. In this verse, there are several concepts that deserve we pause and we reflect on them. The first one, في ستة أيام. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ Verily, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ Your Lord. And remember here, there is a difference between إِلَاه and Rabb. Allah did not use the term إِنَّ إِلَاهَكُمْ. He didn't say that. He said إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ. And I would tell you, when we reach in this verse, when we reach the sentence يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ, He regulates the affairs, I would tell you the meaning of tadbir. Why Allah is called Rabb? There is a difference between ilah and Rabb. Big difference. Rabb is more encompassing and it has a greater meaning. Ilah is the Lord. But Rab is not just a Lord plus someone who directs your life, who regulates your life, who tends to your needs. This is why we have the term tarbiyat. Tarbiyah, we say the mother, she does tarbiyah for her son, for her daughter. Tarbiyah is to raise them. Tarbiyah is to take care of them. Tarbiyah is to supervise them. Tarbiyah is to tend to their needs. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with us. He's not only creator, but He's a caretaker. He's a caretaker. Murabbi. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ Who created the heaven and earth in 6 days. Someone asked me, did really God create the heaven and earth in 6 days? It took Him that long to create 6 days? What is the meaning of 6 days? This term, 6 days, have been mentioned 7 times throughout the Holy Quran in 7 different locations. Although Allah says fi sittati ayyam, in 6 days, but the day does not mean 24 hours. The day in the Arabic literature, even in the Farsi language, Ruz, does not mean 24 hours. It means a period of time, or an era, or a stage, or a cycle, a reference to a stage. And this has been mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith. So day does not mean 24 hours. It could mean thousands of years. Still the Quran referred to that as a day. And we have it in the Quran. Allah speaks about the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment, is it one day? Huh? It's not one day. Day of Judgment is not 24 hours. Allah says, فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ No, no. خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً 50,000 years. A day that lasts 50,000 years of your own years in this land. This is one day. So the day, it could mean hundreds of thousands of years. And this is why there is no clash or contradiction between Quran and science. Science tells us that the cosmos system took billions of years to be created. Went through several stages. Surah Al-Dukhan, if you reflect on Surah Al-Dukhan, started with gas. This is what the scientists tell us. This is how the universe started. And then it was what? The Big Bang theory. So there were several stages. When Allah says sittati ayyam, 6 days, He means 6 stages and 6 periods or 6 steps. Not 6 literal days. Beside, at that time, when God was creating the universe, the earth did not exist at that time. Now, how the day is created, tell me. How do we have the day or the night? The spinning, the rotation of the earth around what? Around itself. Spins on its axis. It takes this spinning 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds every single day. 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds. The earth, it takes this much to spin 360 degrees. This is the day. At that time, there were no earth, there were no sun. So Allah was not referring to the 24 hours period. A day means a period of time, stage, a stage. في ستة أيام. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. Now, some people say, isn't God Almighty? He's powerful, omnipresent, omniscient. He can do that in one stage. Why did He do it in 6 stages? Why? To show us that this universe is so huge and great. And sometimes this is how our brain works. If we look at something simple that is created in a few hours, then we're going to simplify it. We are not going to appreciate the value of it. But if it takes a longer period of time, then you say, well, this job has been really elaborate. This job is very, you know, sometimes the surgeries, if the surgery takes 30 minutes, you're going to suspect about the doctor. But if it takes 13 hours, you say, yeah, he's great. See, he spent 13 hours. Allah wants to show us that in every stage, there is a lot of complexities involved. It's not easy. The creation of the cosmos system, of the universe, of the galaxies, the plants, or the planets, or the stars. There is a lot of complexities involved. So He is showing us His greatness in that, and His wisdom, and His ability, His qudra, and His power in that. This is one lesson. The second lesson, it's for us. For us to be patient. If you want to be a great person in your business, you have to go through steps. You can't jump from nothing, from a penniless pocket, all of a sudden you want to be a millionaire. That does not happen over. If you want to excel in your studies at your school, you have to be patient. You have to move slowly, slowly. There is no button that you press tonight when you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and you are alim. There is no such button. You have to struggle. If you want to be a good father, a good mother, you have to be patient. You have to work slowly, slowly with your children to be good for them. So everything, if you want to be a good farmer, you have to go through stages of evolution. Everything moves into evolution. Allah plans. Allah says, I draw a plan and I move accordingly. Things do not happen suddenly. They don't happen suddenly. This is another wisdom behind the stages of the creation of the universe. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ again has a meaning. The translators of the Quran into English, they translate the term, the verb istawa, into established. He established himself on the throne. We have 2 points here. One is that some people believe still today, some philosophical groups within Islam, they believe that this is a literal description, not a metaphor. Literal, that God, he sits on the throne. He has a throne, arsh, just like the monarch or the king. We have within the Muslim schools, this school is called Mujassama. Mujassama from Tajseem. Tajseem is incarnation. Incarnation. The Christians believe that God, Hulul, that God has a physical entity. He wants to be in the shape of Jesus. He chose for himself to present himself, to offer himself, to showcase himself in the image of Jesus. So he has a body, physical structure. And they think there is nothing wrong with that. We say no, that does not work. If Allah has a physical body, then there is a problem. What's the problem here? Exactly. Allah is going to limit himself in his room. And if he's in his room, he cannot be in the next room. If he's in Irvine, he cannot be in Anaheim. People of Anaheim would live in Disneyland without Lord, without God. So this is limitation. Allah is beyond these limitations, beyond these boundaries. We are limited. We have beginning and we have end. Allah does not have a beginning, neither an end. Allah has no beginning. Yes, هو الأول والآخر. He is the first and the last. But he is the first where he has no beginning. And he is the last where he has no end. ليس كمثله شيء. This is exactly what the Quran says in Surah Ash-Shura. There is nothing like unto him. You can't compare him to anything. One day I was, you know, we had bedtime story for the kids. Every night I would tell them the story of one of the Anbiya, Adam alayhi salam, and then Hawa, and then Ibrahim, and then, you know, Musa, Isa, and then my son, who was, I don't know, 2 years or whatever, he said, now I want you to tell me the story of Allah tonight. Where is his parents? When did he born? When was he, you know, created? He wanted to know this. But Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. You cannot compare him. Allah has no comparison. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. كُفُوًا means a similar person. Comparison. كُفُوًا. Or a counterpart. He has nothing like that. So this is number one. The arsh is a metaphor. A metaphor of what? Can I ask you, when the Quran says, Istawa ala al-arsh, he established himself on the throne. Ma'niya arsh chis. Allah. Shwayat ishbarak. What does it mean, thumma istawa ala al-arsh? Exactly. It's a reference to be in charge. He is in charge of this universe. It's a reference to his authority, to his leadership. He is in charge. Everything that takes place in this universe is under his direct supervision. The Quran says, Wallahu min wara'ihim muhit. Allah encompasses them. Allah is muhit. It means he supervises everything. Ihata, ihata in Arabic, to encompass things. You are in full control, in full charge of this. Anything that happens in this universe, it cannot escape his attention. Neither his orders and his commands. This is at-tawheed al-af'ali. One of the branches of monotheism and tawheed is tawheed al-af'al. We believe that every motion in this universe, every single motion, by a human or non-human or objects, it's exactly under the supervision of God and with his command. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Under his supervision. Now, when you believe in this Lord, do you think that he would let, you know, he would ignore you? He doesn't pay attention to you? Do you think that sometimes when you call upon him and say, Ya Allah, he's not listening? Allah who listens to all the creatures in this universe, be it material or immaterial, he listens to everything. Definitely he listens to you. Sometimes there is no answer because of me and you. We prevent the answer. We block ourselves. These smartphones, they have an application where you can block. Some people who do muzahamat, you know, they keep sending you things, you know. You block them. Khuda hafiz. You don't hear from them. Sometimes we block ourselves. We say to Allah, I don't need you. Through our sins, through our misdeeds. With the tongue, we tell him we need you, but with the deeds, we tell him we don't need you. So it's us. But he encompasses everything in this universe. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Arshullah, the ulama says, Alamul Wujud, the world of existence, this is his throne. This is his authority. The authority of the mayor is only this city. The president, only this country. But Allah, where is his authority? It has no limits. Before us, now, after us, we will go, others would come. And this earth is just a drop in a huge ocean. The earth, this one, planet earth, compared to the universe, is nothing. It's nothing. And maybe there are others living somewhere else. Maybe there are other creatures. And Allah tend to all of them. He listens to all of them. And he knows about all of them. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Let me say something before I leave. Why rububiyyah is important? I mentioned in the beginning, not only Elohiya, Lordness. Ilah is the Lord. Not only believing in Him as the Lord is enough. You need to do something extra. You need to believe in Him as Rab also, not Ilah. And I said the difference between Ilah and Rab. Do you remember the difference? Ilah could be only creator. But Rab is a creator plus what? Ahsant, caretaker. He's a creator and caretaker. You know the pagans in Arabia at the time or before Islam, they had no problem to believing in God as a creator. The Quran says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. O Prophet Muhammad, if you ask those pagans, idol worshippers, who created heaven and earth? Who subjugated the sun and the moon? Immediately they say, God, Allah. They believe in Him as a creator. But they do not believe in Him as what? As caretaker. As Rabb. They believe in Him as Ilah, but not as caretaker, as Rabb. Therefore, they go to their idols asking them for rain, for food, for healing, for happiness, for money. They do not believe that God is in control. They think that God created and He resigned. And He's just sitting there and doing nothing. While the Quran says you have to believe that Allah is in charge. Now, if Allah is in charge, why sometimes Allah says the angels are in charge? He says that. He Himself, He says that. Surah An-Nazi'at. Where is that in Surah An-Nazi'at? Allah says about the angels, وَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا. مُدَبِّرَات, the caretakers. Amra, they take care of the amr, the affair. Some of the affairs. Allah says they are caretakers. Mudabbir. They are managers. They work for me. They are my managers, my directors. Caretakers. Why He needs caretakers? He's in charge. Is He sometimes tired like us? We get tired. We bring someone to help us. Does He get tired? Does He need to rest sometimes? He doesn't need. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No slumber, no sleep overtakes Him. He's always in charge. He's always awake. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't forget. He doesn't become overwhelmed or exhausted with work. Even if you bang on His door every day, many times, thousands of times, He would open the door for you. He doesn't get tired. So why He needs angels? Have you thought about it? And He says in the Quran, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا. مُدَبِّرَاتِ, it's a reference to the angels. Inshallah, the answer next Thursday. Inshallah. Sorry? It is from Allah, exactly. But why Allah uses the angels? What's the wisdom? There is a wisdom. There is a reason. Can someone tell me here? Say that again. I say it. I want you to cultivate your brain and your reason that you have, your aql. We have to think about it. I can say it, no problem. But I want you to think about it. Why Allah uses the... Why Allah has someone called Israel, the angel of death? He says in the Quran, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus. I can take your soul. So why He sends Israel? He cannot do the job? He's busy? He's not busy. Why He's sending Israel? Why He's sending Jibreel to carry the message? He cannot send the message directly to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can. He doesn't need an intermediaries, middleman in the middle. He doesn't need. So why He does that? Why he has Mikael? Why he has Israfil? Why he has Hamalatul Arsh? 12 carrying the throne. His throne. Why? He's in need? He's not in need. There is something else. What is it? What is it? Can someone tell me here? Why Allah incorporates and employs? Nah, برعکس میخواد قدرتش نشون بده خودش کار را انجام میده نمیگه به دیگران نه اگر خدا من خودش میخواد خدا میگه من این کار را انجام میدم تنهایی نیاز ندارم به شما نه یه چیز دیگری تو این کار هست What is it? Let me say it and I will elaborate on it next Thursday. In this universe, one of the most important laws that governs this cosmos system from day one is the law of cause and effect. Illa and ma'lul. Sabab and musabab. What does that mean? It means that Allah, for everything He created, a source, means. What is the means of light on earth now? What is it? The main means for light. What is it?
Sun.
Although Allah is the mean. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The sun compared to Allah's light is nothing. He is the nur. He is the light. But then He created a physical entity. Physical entity to shine, to spread the light, called sun. The same thing, it's the source of what? Source of heat and light and heat at the same time. For everything Allah created means, what are the means of guidance? Allah says, it's me. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ This is why one of His attributes, which is written somewhere here, Al-Hadi. He's the guide. But then He sent what to us? Prophets and messengers. And He sent these books, source of guidance. This is a source of guidance. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a source of guidance. The Imams are a source of guidance. So He used means. Although He is the main source, but He uses means. The same thing with the angels, cause and effect. Allah says in this universe, although I can do everything, but I want to teach you, you human being, that you also, you need means in this life to reach your goals. You need money? Of course, all of us, we need money. What is the means to get money? Work. So if you don't work, forget about money. Allah says, I'm not going to give you money. I am the source of money. I am ghani. I will give you, but through work. Through something called means. Wasila means. You need ilm, knowledge. I am the source of knowledge. Allah is the source of knowledge. But I am not going to give it to you unless you go to where? To school. You have to go to school. You have to spend time reading, studying. Then I will give you the ilm. These are means, cause and effect. You need to get children. You love children. You have to get wife. Or you have to get married. Can you get children without a husband, without a wife? You can't. This is the means for us. You need happiness. I am the source of happiness. But then you have to take care of your life. You have to do good in order for you to be. So this is the illah and ma'lul. Illah and ma'lul. Allah says, even me, when I want to do a job, I use contractors. Those contractors are the malaika. They work for me. They do not work independently from me. They work dependent on me. I delegate them. They work for Allah with His permission. And we will elaborate on this next Thursday because I reached my limit. It's 49 minutes. And 41 seconds. Let's recite Amman Yujib. Many people asked us tonight. We have a friend of us who's in coma in the hospital. We have Mahmoud Rida also, he wants our dua. Another sister who called tonight. And also let's do dua for all the mu'mineen, for the loved ones that we lost during the last 2 days. Let's raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is waiting for our prayers and our dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم اكشف عن المكروبين والمحرومين اللهم اقض حوائجنا للدنيا والآخرة من على مرضانا بالشفاء والصحة اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات for the departed soul of the parents of Khanum Saeed, and she provided the dinner tonight, and the martyrs, Shuhada, Ziya Barakat, Yusur and Razan Abu Salha, and Yunus Haider al-Khidr, al-Fatiha ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.